I wanted you just to get your thoughts in general about the tone of the show. And like, did you, when you initially read the scripts, were you like, well, this is different. This is not the type of show. Drew you to it?
The fact that it was so refreshing in every sense, that it was championing the underdog. It was championing those people that were damaged and scarred and needed to be held up, and not just held up, but squeezed along the way. I love the fact that there was nothing snippy about it. I love the fact that, you know, it wasn't fashionable to criticize or even gently josh, really. It was just about being the best version of yourselves and making it affect others.
Much better said than the way I was trying to surmise the whole thing. Did you read the entire arc? Did you have the entire season laid out in front of you, or no? Okay.
All I knew, and people can't quite believe this, and now looking back, I can't quite believe it either. All I had was the pilot. And not only all I had was the pilot, all I had was Rebecca's sides from the pilot.
Oh my God.
I had no idea of Rupert. I had no idea about anything that happens with Ted. I had no idea that Keely comes in and changes her life as well. I mean, honestly, I was almost learning en route. And I think that's what allowed me to give of myself more, because I had no choice but to just go with my gut reaction to each moment.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that dovetails into my next question, which is, I also think you had a really tough role, not only in that you go through such a profound change from the first episode to the last, but you are asked to do more. I feel like you have to do more reactionary takes to like the absurdities going on. Then a lot of the guys in the locker room are just like, in the beginning, they're like, what is this clown doing? But for your character, he's literally bursting into your office multiple times throughout the season, which was hilarious as a viewer, but you have to perform. So how often when that was happening, he's like bursting in, he's constantly giving you baked goods. Like, how do you do that as a performer, like time and time again, do the laugh, do the like the perfectly timed reaction? How difficult were all those?
The most difficult, well, there are two things that were difficult, one slightly more than the other. It was very difficult as an actor who digs what Jason Sudeikis does. And when he's particularly got a little bit of a cheeky thing going on any given day, when he's got the, you know, the cheek in him, that he, that's hard to not just be there fangirling and laughing and not being, you know, and breaking all the time. The harder thing is, as Rebecca, to not let that in, to not allow his unbridled joy to affect her mission, as it were. She has no space in her life at that point for warmth or silliness or empathy even. So when we even get as far as after the gala, and he starts sharing with her, and she says, oh, so just because I opened up to you, this is what we're doing now, is it? And he goes, yeah. And she's like, oh God, right. Okay, note to self, I won't do that again. So it's a thing for me as the actress and then me as Rebecca to combat the positivity. Now, that's not something that you would think somebody had to do, but if they're hell-bent on doing something that is not smiley and jokey and full of joy, that can actually be an irritation. And I chose to make that irritation my impetus for her, that this person had come in. I don't want your sunniness. I have something to do because I've been wronged.
Right. Which makes complete human sense, because when you are down, especially in the scenario you were in, where it's like a catastrophic emotional disaster and you've been like humiliated.
Yeah, it's a seismic fallout. It's the worst fallout there can be, I think, other than something related to your children or lack of children. There is no worse thing, I don't think, than still being in love with someone, which I hope I conveyed enough to people that Rebecca, unfortunately, is still desperately in love with Rupert and can't really do anything about it. And that's what makes it worse. So to constantly try and convey upset through the aggression that she's showing towards him, that's a hard balance to find.
Yeah, well, I mean, you found it, because one of the things, like when people kept trying to get me to watch Ted Lasso, one of the things they kept saying was, I'm telling you, you're going to cry by the end of the series. And especially in the gala episode, it really comes through in your performance that, yeah, on paper, he's the worst guy on earth. But like, it's so clear that you're so heartbroken when he shows up at the gala once again, like bigfooting around, like he's going to save the day with the band and he's rich and he brings the young woman.
The heartbreaking line for me was, you know, you should do the auction because we both know they'd rather have you than me.
Which of course leads to the moment with you and Ted, though, outside, which is, I think, where I finally just let go and was like, well, I'm going to cry now in my apartment in Brooklyn. and it felt so good, too. It was also mid-pandemic where, like, you couldn't have needed the show more. So, and another question I had. So you have these parallel things happening. Yours is very in public. I mean, it's being smeared across the British press. It's like the worst case scenario. I mean, you are the owner of a club. Obviously, folks are pretty fanatic about soccer. So your disaster is in public. Ted's disaster is very quiet. Again, though, you didn't have any of this to work with initially. You're learning this as you go along.
Literally, as soon as I mean, no knowledge of it before the table read next episode came.
That's unbelievable. So from a technical standpoint, you learn all your lines. You absorb everything that's happening, like, and you're in a couple of days you're shooting.
Yes. And also, so they'll give you the script, but you'll then also, because bear in mind, they've done it on season two as well, because it was a completely new thing. They also had to hear it coming out of us at the table read. And then by the time you'd learn that, you would then get other versions of it sent to you by email that you'd learn that. And then by the time you get on set, you'd probably get the definitive version that they've stopped tweaking. And that's what makes it so brilliant, because you have to have a knowledge of it in your bones. And it's the same with season two. I mean, it's become a running gag with Jason. I'm just like, are you going to suddenly like plop a new bit of script down on my Rebecca desk? And he's like, no, I'll get Chip to do it. That's his assistant. So Chip would sidle up with a piece of paper and go, and I'd be like, when's that born? He'd be like, now, ma'am.
Unbelievable. And so sometimes, then you're just, all right, you're off to the races.
Yeah, you've just got to go with it because, well, you don't have any choice. And you know that the changes they will have made, or even the alts that we end up doing while we're filming, you know, they'll suddenly go, okay, next time we do that, instead of saying that, say, and they'll be literally like, you know, and Brendan will come in, or Brett Goldstein will come in, or Joe Kelly. They'll have a little conflab and they're like, should we go? Okay. So next time say this, and you're like, okay. Like trying to cut and paste in your head, and you're on a close-up of your own face.
Oh man. And is it safe to say, have you never worked this way before? Is this a unique experience?
I've worked this way before. No, but what it does do means that they get the very best version of it, because you, the conduit, are there firing on all cylinders and they're feeling it in the moment. And you can't help but feel it in the moment because it's literally just been given to you. So you have to go with your knee-jerk guttural response. And I think that's what makes it so visceral for the audience, because we've had no space to let it in and think, oh, I'm going to do this with it. I'm going to flesh it out like this. You've just got to get out that knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, that's so interesting. And I imagine, with also again with Rebecca's character, you have more scenes where it's like just you and Jason, or it's just you and Juno. Like there's a lot of scenes obviously with the team where they get to feed off of each other. Your scenes seem to be a lot more like you and somebody else having like a pretty significant moment.
Yeah, like old school, two-handers. Like a play two-hander, yeah.
Right, which is not new to you. So that wouldn't be new to you.
No, it's not new to me, but I mean, sometimes I craved a bit more interaction with everyone else, but it meant that I could really home in like on the other person. And it meant that I really had to stay switched on, because that brings its own intensity. And it also meant that she was very much a kind of ice princess at the top of a tower, which I liked as well. I like the fact that she does remove herself. I think also the reason you don't see her very often with the team or with anyone else is because she keeps that level of being aloof.
Right. Is it more difficult in season two now that you are not, like, you don't have this kind of dual thing where you're the ice princess, you're actually secretly trying to undermine the team? Now that's kind of gone. It's a totally different thing for Rebecca.
Totally different, which I'm not going to lie. I was a bit like, ooh, it slightly unnerved and derailed me a bit, if I'm honest, because I suddenly thought, right, there's no attrition with Ted. There's no attrition with Higgins. Rupert's not there, that, you know, thus far, where we'd got up to when I was thinking this. And I was a bit like, okay, who is she now? And so I had to take it scene by scene, person by person, as we all do, in that moment, how you react to each of those people and what they bring out in you and what you bring out in them.
And you have the benefit. I mean, your performance is great. You're also working because you're doing a lot of these two-handers with either Jason or Juno. Like, how's that been, having these relationships with these other great actors, comedic, like these, folks are just really talented.
The other person that we mustn't leave out in that, who I had an awful lot of stuff with, is Jeremy Swift as Higgins. He's just as much in there. I was so grateful that I had such a great scene partner in him, equally as the other two, because, you know, he is playing such conflict as well. And even though he and I'd never met, we knew of each other very well. And when he first walked in for the table read of the pilot, he kind of bobbed his head over to me and went, "I'm Higgins." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, of course you are." And it just worked immediately. And I feel that when I watch it, I feel that you think they've known each other for years. And that was really important to have that.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. There's like an archetype to that relationship too.
I think the clever thing is, universally, they've given everyone not just layers of the onion, but like sublayers of the sublayers of the onion. And when everybody has that going on, that's what makes for such a riveting watch.
Yeah, 100%. Even the cocky prick soccer player you find out at the end has like the worst dad in the world.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I have to say, Phil Dunster, that plays Jamie Tart, I think is one of my favorite performers in it, because he is so good at that part that I think people in real life think he's like that. And he is the least like his part. Just saying.
Like, I don't know what Cockney is, but is there a Cockney accent on the show that I should, it's obvious to everybody?
Yeah, I would say that that's the Roy Kent character, Brett's character. But Brett in real life has a much higher tone where he does that thing with Roy, you know, down there.
Yeah. So that was really, that was actually scary. It seems like a surprise hit. I mean, I feel like a show on Apple about a soccer team, you would not expect that, but that's the best thing about it. I think that it's so unexpected how much the show really matters to people.
Oh, well, I mean, even when we'd finished shooting it, I remember a few of us just going, "Oh, I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know how it's going to be perceived." Because of course you shoot a load of scenes and then you see it in the edit and you're just like, "I just didn't know it was going to be this. I didn't know that it would be so overwhelming to everyone and pluck at everyone's heartstrings and make them cry with laughter and with real tears of concern for these people." I had no idea that they had written such amazing arcs for all these characters, because I never read anybody else's stuff, because if Rebecca shouldn't know it, then I don't want to know it. And it really was a joy for me to watch it as an audience member as well. And I mean, the revelation about Ted and his wife and the fact that he was making the biscuits all along and that he puts a little wobbly queen on top of the biscuits when he finishes them, just really the detail in it. And the fact that, you know, I hadn't let in anything about the fact that Lasso and Beard have the most fabulous relationship where they finish each other's sentences. Just, I don't think I've ever been in something where I watch it and am a fan myself.